How you doing? I'm a recovered uncured alcoholic. My name is Scott. Good to be here tonight. Thank you for asking. I love seeing this guy sitting here. I haven't been here in quite a while. I'd like to see, good to see some new faces and good to see some old faces in here. And as a result of this process, I've had my spirit awakened. You know, and this chapter, I think early on was the most effective chapter for my sponsor relaying this to me. Last week you guys read the doctor's opinion where we learned about the physical part, the allergy part of it, but it also begins to mention the mind part of it. We have an illness of the body and the mind. You know, once I'm removed from the drink till I detox away from it, the drink problem's over here. You know, and unless I pick up the drink itself doesn't become a problem. But the problem that remains is my thinking. And I didn't realize any of this when I got sober. I wasn't one of those people who tried to get sober before. I drank and drug for a long, long time, 36 years, and not once in all of that time did it ever even cross my mind that maybe I should stop drinking and drugging. It just wasn't there. I never had a desire to stop drinking. It just wasn't there. I had to go through the ring of 4, 5, 6 or a couple dozen times, and I had to lose absolutely everything before I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I really didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to detox. I wasn't really aware. I had heard of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I knew nothing about it. You know, I went to detox. From there, they sent me to a TSS facility. From there, they sent me to Stephen Miller House. So the first 5 months I was sober, I was in a treatment facility. And this is the only chapter in this whole book where I actually talk about alcohol. You know, the rest of this book is about recovery. You know, this is beginning to explain to me the problem of alcoholism as it's laid out in this book. And once I was able to identify with the first 63 pages of the book, I was able to launch out on the program of action in a fourth step. And I'm here tonight to talk about more about alcoholism. This chapter talks many different times, it uses in different terms, mental phenomena, peculiar mental blank spot, all these things, the lack of defense against a first drink, not a cloud on the horizon, all these little inklings that they're putting in here in this book are talking about, left to my own devices, I don't have a defense against the first drink. And being an alcoholic the whole variety, that means I'm going to pick up that drink. It's just not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So by going through this chapter, I was able to begin to see the insanity, all right, which creates the unmanageability as far as I believe. I don't look at the outside part of my life as what is the unmanageability. You know, we admit we're powerless over alcohol and the hyphen in our lives have become unmanageable. You know, the unmanageable centers in my mind. You know, the losing of jobs, the broken relationships and all that weren't the lack of my manageability in my life. It was the manageability of my thinking pertaining to alcohol. That's my belief in it. Other people have different takes on that and to each their own as far as that goes. But I began to go to this chapter and, you know, like I just said, I never swore it off. You know, it says solemn oath, with or without a solemn oath. I never considered that. So that part of it I didn't understand. The incomparable demoralization, I really had no shame out there. I really didn't. I didn't care who saw me or what I did. It just didn't affect me, you know. I understood how I lived my life was not right, but I didn't know what alcoholism was. And like I said, I can keep going back to that same thing of never trying to do it, never trying to stop. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. May pursue into the gates of insanity or death, and that's where I was. That's where I ended up. I was utterly insane, and the insanity that this chapter is talking about is the insanity that precedes the first drink. And I'm going to continue to talk about that because that's what this is about to me. You know, the powerlessness, the lack of choice. Okay, understanding an allergy is a really good beginning to all this, but I lack the power of choice when it comes to alcohol. I just can't do it on my own willpower. And I couldn't understand it. And the first example they give four illustrations in this chapter. The first one's a gentleman of 25 years, I believe it was, you know, retired, blah, blah, blah. Picks up a drink within 4 years, he's dead. Had no way to relate to that early on. you know, because I had never been sober. But my experience around these halls, I've seen people that happen to. I've seen people that have been sober a long, long time and gone back out. Because by their own words, they lack the defense against the first drink. You know, I'm a firm believer in meetings. I love meetings, but I don't believe meetings in of themselves are going to keep me sober. You know, there's some wonderful people I know in this room, some wonderful guys. And I don't think they want me to drink. I'm pretty sure they don't want me to drink. But they're not going to keep me sober. You know, and that I didn't understand early on. When it comes to the higher power, I wasn't thinking about God when I got sober. People would say, hit your knees. I'm like, fine, sounds good. Never did it, you know? I was still trying to run the show when I got sober. And I was fortunate enough early on to meet a man who had come from the Hyannis group that worked up at Miller House that offered me a solution. And that's how he said it to me. He said, you know, there's a solution. There's a way out of this thing. And the line in the book here, it's funny, I just underlined it tonight. And I think my response was really on the lines of, thanks for the information. You know, I didn't know what he was talking about. He was talking, when I go to a meeting, in my own experience too, when I hear somebody at the podium, at a speaker meeting or in a discussion meeting, talking about their drunk log, they're talking about this chapter. This is what I hear people talking about. They get into this, they get into that, and so forth and so on, and it's the same result. And I didn't understand. I used to sit in meetings and go, I don't know what they're talking about. But I never had anybody, looking back in my experience, no one ever said to me, do you think you're an alcoholic? No one ever said to me, do you think you're a drug addict? But what I would hear from people, especially people close to me, what is wrong with you? You just keep doing this shit. Can't you see what you're doing? And I would brush it off to leave me alone. And in the end, that's what happened. There was nobody left. You know, I'm the alcoholic of that hopeless variety, and I didn't understand that. I had to lose absolutely everything. You don't have to. But the one that caught my attention at first was the jaywalker. Because when I read through the jaywalker, if somebody walks into traffic, breaks his legs, does it again, breaks an arm, does it again, waits a couple weeks, does it again, breaks his back. Okay? Now, when you equate that to how you drank or how I drank, I can only share my experience, that nailed it. Absolutely and utterly nailed it. Because I would keep doing it. I would go pick up a drink or go get some drugs, and for whatever, then the insanity could be said as doing something, they're expecting the same results. You know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the same results or different results. There came a point in my alcoholism, when I was active, that I didn't expect different results. I knew there was a point where something was going to happen. I didn't know when. And that's the thing that struck me when I got into this work. Is I can go back and through my experience and tell you hundreds of times I went out and I had a beer with dinner and I went home. And on the other side of the coin, I can give you hundreds and hundreds of times that I went out thinking that's what I was going to do, have a beer and go home. And the next thing I know, I'm closing the bar. I'm at the coke dealer's house at 3 in the morning. I'm in the combat zone at 5 in the morning chasing hookers around, thinking this is absolutely normal life, you know? I did not know when that was going to happen. That, to me, is the insanity of alcoholism, to me. You know, I used to laugh about some of this stuff when I read it, and I never had really had blackouts. And as close as this book that I've read, they don't use the term blackout that I've ever seen. If somebody could point it out to me later, I'd be more than happy to look at it. They use the word shadowy recollection. Okay. And that I had a lot of. that was frequent. You know, I'd get up in somewhere and looking next to me, I don't know her, you know, and I could slowly piece the evening together. So I didn't, I mean, there were three times, I think, in all those years I was out there drinking that I don't remember what happened. I wake up with a black eye or that type of thing, and I didn't know, but that was only three occasions. I could always piece together the night before. Sometimes it took a little prodding from people I ran into that day, Well, the next day when I went back to the bar and said, you're not welcome here. You know, I've been thrown out of some really shitty places, you know. Bad for life. That's just funny. I was talking to my friend the other day, and I was just smiling as he was talking about something. But I can identify with that. My God. I mean, just over and over again. And the salesman that goes into the bar, and he's been sober a little bit of time, and the thought crosses his mind that if he puts whiskey in his milk, it'll be okay. That's insanity. If you can relate to yourself as a true alcoholic, a real alcoholic, that's insane thinking. My first read-through with this, with my sponsor, my first sponsor at the time, I can remember saying this to him. And he looked at me after we read the paragraph, you know, maybe another glass of whiskey with the milk won't be so bad. And I said, I would never do that, man. I would absolutely never do that. And he looked at me, he says, why? I said, I'm lactose. And he looked at me and says, wow, you're a sick person. Yeah? But I mean, and that's the reality when I go back on this stuff. But taking vodka and putting it into my orange juice and taking it to work with me, or replacing the Poland spring water bottle with vodka, is the same thing. Okay? I try to tell guys when I'm working with them now, don't look for the exact comparison that's in these illustrations. Go through your own experiences and try to find what you can identify and relate to as this happens. And I was able to do that, you know? And I can remember on many occasions, and going back to going out and never knowing what was going to happen, no matter how injurious it was, and no matter what the responsibility was in my life, once I put alcohol or drugs into my system, my thinking flips. It goes to a completely different place where I no longer have any willpower whatsoever. I go to one story, when I can remember I had an appointment up in, I believe it was Rockland or Abington, at 8 o'clock the next morning to pick up a check for $15,000. I had worked on finalizing this account I had. All I had to do was pick up the check the next day. The night before, I decided to go down to the Royal Palace and watch the game, maybe have a little bite to eat, maybe have a Mai Tai, call it an early night. That was the plan. And I meant that when I left my house. That was my exact line of thinking when I left the house. Well, I got there, had my drink, watched the game, ordered the second Mai Tai, and the thought crossed my mind, doesn't an eight ball sound really good right now? And that was it. That was it. It flipped. My mindset flipped. The insanity had returned once again. I was on the phone. I was da-da-da. The next thing you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm looking at the clock, pushing the alarm clock. I had 15 minutes trying to get extra sleep. I missed the appointment, you know? That stuff to me was normal. I don't know how many times my car broke down or I had to go to the dentist and I told, yeah, I mean, the excuses, you know, sometimes they were true, but there were so many times that there was no more truth to this anymore. And I couldn't understand that, you know. But I do believe this too. There was some point early on in my drinking that I probably could have stopped, but I had no desire to stop. I liked the effect alcohol and drugs had on me. I liked the way they made me feel. I didn't drink because I was in fear, but there was a lot of fear within me. I didn't know that then. I liked the effect alcohol gave to me. When and where I crossed that line, who knows? It's really irrelevant. It doesn't matter to me why I'm an alcoholic. It matters that I am an alcoholic and I understand alcoholism. You know, this chapter was truly a beginning to me to getting into this work. I just used that example with going down to the Chinese restaurant. And I think of the other one here. When the guy had his business in Washington, it all went off well, you know, and he went into the bar for a leisurely dinner and had a drink. And he decided to have, as it goes in here, Nothing at all more. I ordered the cocktail, my meal, then I ordered another cocktail. After dinner, I decided to take a walk. When I returned to the hotel, it struck me a highball would be fine before going to bed. I crossed out highball on here and put 8-ball because that's what I would do. Now, I know this is alcohol, but drugs are my alcoholism. There's no question about it. You know, thank God my first sponsor said to me when I was saying to him, I said, you know what, I'm not really sure if I'm an alcoholic. I got no problem admitting I'm a drug addict, but I don't know if I'm an alcoholic because I didn't drink large volumes of alcohol. I couldn't drink a case of beer in a sitting. I still don't know what a handle is. You know, I don't know because I didn't drink like that, but I had an insatiable appetite to put drugs into my body. You know, I could eat 20 volumes in a night and snort a quarter ounce of blow without blinking an eye. That's insanity. And convincing myself that's okay. You know, I don't know. I'm a little sore tonight. I had reconstructed back surgery in January, and I'm recovering from that. And you know, one of the things I've learned in these last 4 months, actually the last year, but the last 4 months specifically, is I was unable to get to meetings for over 3 months, okay? And I had a couple meetings at the house, which was really nice. Some of those guys were there, I hear tonight, and that was really good. And also when I left the hospital, they gave me pain medication. They gave me Oxycontin when I left the hospital that night, all right? Now, early on in this process, had this surgery been necessary, I wouldn't have known how to deal with that. I had people, and this is my experience, trust me, I'm not like saying go get some oxygen, try this, I'm not doing that. But I was in excruciating pain. And I had people telling me, and again, well-meaning, just take Tylenol, you'll be okay. And I'm like, yeah, right. I was on the morphine drip in the hospital, I couldn't hit that button quick enough, you know? But they gave me the prescription, and it was one every 4 hours. At most in the course of a day, I took maybe one late in the afternoon, one at the end of the day. And when the pain became tolerable, I stopped taking them. That's because of this process, I was able to be sane. I was able to respond in a sane fashion. I didn't have to give somebody my medication to distribute it to me. I'm safe and protected. I believe that with all my heart and soul. You know, I don't have an alcoholic mind today. I'm able to go anywhere on this earth. I've been able to tap into a power greater than myself that I choose to call God. Whatever you call your higher power, if you have one or not, that's individual. God, as we understand him. You know, I have a firm faith today. Has the faith been wavered over the last few months? Not the faith hasn't. Like I was saying to John before the meeting, sometimes I know the truth and I just don't want to see it, you know? And sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to accept things as they are. Because when I don't accept them, it usually means they're not going my way. And that gets back to the self-centeredness of my nature. That's the root of my troubles, you know? So, if you're new in here and you're considering going through this process, I encourage you wholeheartedly to do it. I can say from my own experience, this was the single best thing I ever did, was go through this process, you know? I'm a free man today. I never thought that was possible. Sanity's been returned. I'm neutral when it comes to alcohol, based on my spiritual condition. So again, God bless you, thank you. Thanks.